This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
One more segment on this today. Patrick Clancy conspiracy theories were loud before the trial started. 14 days of live stream testimony later, they've gotten louder, not quieter. TikTok creators are scrutinizing surveillance footage, comparing photos of Patrick's new wife to Lindsay. That's one of my favorites that people are doing. I feel horrible for this family and building theories out of forensic testimony that no investigator has ever endorsed or has ever even happened. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, with us. As we continue to discuss, and your thoughts in the comments section, people are putting photos of Patrick's new wife. I'm not even going to say her name because I don't want to open up an opportunity for someone to Google her. Showing photos of hers next to Lindsay. They're saying, see, same hair, same build. It's a replacement. And they're treating it as evidence that he planned the whole thing to trade one woman for another. Yeah. What does that actually tell you about someone who is looking at that and going, ha, hole in one. That's what's happening here. Despite there being no evidence to any of that.
I think you need to turn off the TV.
Go touch some grass.
Yeah, go touch some grass.
Or smoke some grass. It might help you too.
It might, anything. It's data picking. I mean, that's all people are doing right now. They're data picking. They're data picking the things that they will then morph into the support. I mean, remember, I mean, how many times do we say it on a show? And for anyone that is thinking these things, I mean, our audience is such a great critical thinking audience. And if you see yourself on the opposite end of that, on this one, I'm not saying you're not critical thinking, because in your own mind, we are. But ask yourself, if you're off of what we're saying and the way we're thinking about this, ask yourself, what is it that makes me feel that way? You know, do a deeper dive on that and ask yourself, am I just seeing things I want to see and I'm picking this to support? Because one thing we keep saying on the show is that as a species, we're great at creating patterns and seeing patterns as a species that aren't there. You know, and so we create patterns. So in other words, if you think Patrick is guilty, the pattern you're going to create are you're going to see this. I'm going to see this. I'm going to see this. I'm going to say that, oh, look, she looks just like Lindsay. He must be guilty. What? It's so far askew I can't even come up with words for it. It's just so far askew of any sort of supportive analysis of the conclusion that you've come up with that you're trying to prove. I mean, just so, like I think you said, if you have a type, you have a type. I mean, or it's not, and to me, I doubt, because again, you look at her background, she's a medical doctor. What was Lindsay? She's a medical professional. She's a labor and delivery nurse. Perhaps he's into people that are service-oriented and caring individuals for others. Perhaps.
Whoa! Killer.
Because you know what? Interesting enough, Patrick's mother was also a labor and delivery nurse. Huh. 28 years.
He's a killer.
Huh.
Killer.
You know, and here's an interesting analogy. My son-in-law's mother also is labor and delivery nurse. My daughter, labor and delivery nurse. Isn't that kind of interesting? They all must be guilty.
Oh my God. So. Oh my God. Oh my. Yeah, I mean, I want to wrestle through some of these things. Lindsay told Patrick after the killings that she heard a man's voice telling her if she didn't act, she would lose her chance. She's testified, or she's told her doctors this. This is coming out in court. This isn't like some sort of conspiracy. She heard a voice. This is the cognitive things that were going on in her brain. Basically, these manifestations. And the conspiracy crowd hasn't said, they're not going down the road of, no, you didn't hear those things. You're just making that up. There are some people who are doing that. They're going down the road of, Patrick was the voice. Patrick was somehow sneakily making her think she was hearing a voice. I don't know quite how you do that. Do you do that like through your devices in your home and like drop in on people like you can do with Alexa? How? It's like, wow, this is creative. This is, I haven't heard this one before, of someone faking voices in someone's head. I don't know how you do that, but there's a lot of people believing Patrick was like whispering in her ear and making her believe that there was a voice in her head. There's no evidence that supports that claim whatsoever. But how do you fight? How do you argue with someone on that? Because there is no evidence to support it. And there's, I mean, there's also no evidence against it because it's not real.
Well, don't, the first word says, how do you fight it? You don't fight it. You just let it spin around in circles. And, you ask a simple question, show me. That's all. Just show me. Just show me. And if, until you can show me, great. In other words, show me how you can give it to me so I can prove it. Show me how I can prove it. That's all I ask people. It's like, all right, you have a theory. Show me how I can prove it. I tried and I can't. Show me how you can prove that.
But here's how people prove things now. Maybe this is why this works so well. People don't have to go back to evidence to prove anything. They just have to go to a TikTok, from Jill in Akron. And Jill in Akron was talking about it. And Jill in Akron heard this, and Jill in Akron's going to rattle off 40 different unproven facts in the same TikTok video. And that happens to be one of them. So that's how they prove it. That's how they get that false equivalency of proof in their mind that they then run with because somebody else is already talking about it rather than the actual facts. So I don't know what that's called. I'm sure there's a smart word for it. But that's, maybe Robin knows it.
No, just nutters being nutters.
Confirmation bias of some sort that's being based on unsubstantiated information or just flat out lies. Prosecution spent 14 days arguing that Lindsay sent Patrick to the store as part of her plan to get him out of the house. Yep. The conspiracy crowd says Patrick engineered the errand and it is his alibi. Some 25 minutes or same 25 minutes, totally opposite views. Oh, and by the way, the whole time during that conspiracy, she's calling him, she's calling the store, she's doing all these things, I guess, to play out part of Patrick's conspiracy. Again, just none of it makes sense. I get conspiracy theories that have pieces to them that lend into it going, oh, ooh, that's kind of weird. Doesn't have any of it. None of it lends itself to the conspiracy theory. It's really a lot of forcing this round peg in this triangular hole.
So, I'm sorry, I'm doing my little snicker shuffle right now because typically, I'm not paintbrushing because if you're one of these people that think this, I don't want to be insulting if you're a good, healthy human being and you have great relationships in your life. But in general, for people that come up with some wild stuff like that, it's typically because you've done it yourself or you tried to get one over on your spouse and it didn't friggin' work. And so this is why you recognize it, is that because you tried it and it didn't work. I mean, so much of these things are projections. Just like COVID really, I thought was an interesting, so many horrendous things happened during COVID, but COVID really highlighted how much secret relationships are going on because all of a sudden you couldn't see your secret relationship. Everyone's in lockdown. So that all those things got highlighted. And so all the behaviors that went behind hiding things became highlighted.
Is that ultimately what's at the core of all of this? At this case so much.
Some of it.
Is that there's a lot of people who've had very, and I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. A lot of people who've had very unhealthy thoughts about A, their children at some point in life, or B, their spouse. And the idea of that being exposed, not even directly, but indirectly, that a human being who has children or a spouse or both could be capable of those emotions and feelings. And somebody seeing this being played out in a courtroom in its extreme, when it goes to the absolute worst that it could go to, are people seeing this and going, oh, I felt that way one day, never in a state of psychosis, but just sheer emotion, just being a human being, what we are, ups and our downs. And sometimes we feel things that are not healthy and not good, but we can recognize it and go, that's not good. I got to back away from that. Is it flying too close to the sun? And it's part of the mask that we put up and pretend I would never do that. I could never do that. I'm incapable of doing that. But in reality, we're all somewhat capable of doing that. And it's one of those capabilities that nobody wants to admit they have.
You know, I know I've used this comparison numerous times for different cases and different aspects. And that's alcohol use disorder. And here's how I'm going to liken it to this one. People who suffer alcohol use disorder, which I used to call alcoholism, still do in some points. One of the first signs that you might have alcohol use disorder or be an alcoholic is when you start comparing and contrasting everyone else's alcohol use.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, I'm not that bad. So sure. you're constantly seeking these comparisons to say, well, I had those feelings too, but I didn't kill my kids. And so I think a lot of this is the rationalization that I'm okay. I have doubts about myself, but I must be okay because I'm not that bad. And so they're using this case to project all these different aspects of what they think they would have done or they could have done if they were as bad as that. But I'm not as bad as that, so I must be okay. I must not need mental health help. I must not need counseling because I didn't go that bad. Again, is it everyone? No, but I think there's definitely elements of it because you see, never is one case or one situation a blanket, like it's just this or just this. No, there's lots of elements of all these things because human beings are vastly complex. All of us are different, you know, just like all, there's never two snowflakes alike. There's never two human beings alike. And so all the little things that make up the soup of who we are, our genetic goo, is all very different. But I think these are definitely some prevalent things that are coming out that are a lot of these different projections of our own insecurities, of our own comparison contrast to say, well, at least I'm not this bad. I mean, I did it myself. So one thing that people do that are moving through and arrive in a healthy place. That's why I encourage everyone to go back and listen to last Wednesday's episode with Siobhan Scott, our amazing psychotherapist. Because here's Siobhan, her great book, Nightbird, and her other book, talk about she is someone that was unhealthy through life circumstances and context, became self-aware, moved through it, owned the behaviors, not ashamed of it, and became this amazing psychotherapist for others. And so someone who's a healthy place in life has open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. And so those are the type of people that can actually take these things in. They see their place of where they were. I mean, I had those thoughts with my kids. My daughter screaming when she was 1.5 years old, 2 years old from colic was driving me up a wall. Thank God my wife was the great mother she was because I don't know how she did it. So we all have those moments. And so it's moving through it, owning it, and saying it's okay because you know what? We're not alone. And that's the other thing too. Lindsay was seeking consistently, as shown through the testimony, help, 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 I need help. Lindsay was open with her communication. She's transparent. And the prosecution keeps saying she wasn't open. No, she might not have felt completely safe with the same people, but she was as open as possible. She's calling her mother-in-law and telling her how she had ideation. She's telling her mom. She's telling her husband. She's telling some of the therapists. She is broadcasting out to the world. She's telling everyone her fears of being addicted to drugs. She's telling, she got fears of being addicted to alcohol, so she gave up that. So I heard some of those comments yesterday. Well, she's addicted to drugs and alcohol. Where did you get that? Watch the testimony. Listen to the experts. Do your own research. Don't research on TikTok and just open your mind up and just critically think through it. Play it all out. See what makes sense.
That's interesting. I like your analogy. I've never heard the word alcohol use disorder, honestly. I've heard alcoholism, but that's a new way, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just behind the times.
No, it's pretty recent, last couple of years. Okay. They've moved on from alcohol, the label that's of alcoholism to alcohol use disorder.
Okay, I like that. It's a very good analogy. And you can, you know, insert, you know, any sort of anything. Disorder here. When you see that, or when you see people lashing out, I'm going to go even beyond like alcohol use disorder. When you see people lashing out in very extreme ways at other people that have nothing to do with their own orbit, but in very unbalanced ways too, in imbalance than their typical reaction is of other issues or things that you would think would be important to them. When they're going to an extreme in that lashing out, a lot of times it has something to do with themselves. It has a lot to do with something that they believe that, and I'm not saying it is, I mean, obviously murder is, but a lot of times people will be lashing out in very extreme ways at things that they believe are bad, whether it's bad or not. But you see it quite a bit. You see it in politics a lot. You see it in sometimes in religion a lot, or somebody thinking this type of lifestyle is bad or that, and then they go to such an extreme to cover up their own
guilt of what they believe is bad, that it comes across as very unbalanced to the rest of the world. And I wonder if the alcohol analogy was very close. I also see it kind of like that too, where I'm going to go so extreme over here, but it's really nothing to do with the case. It's more so what's going on in here that I have so much shame about.
It's always about what's going on inside. I tell people this frequently, because when people have moments at work or in their own personal life where, you know, they say, oh, someone treated me really bad. Can you believe they said that to me? I said, no, they didn't say it to you. They're being who they are. You just happen to be in their way that day. You know, you triggered some response to them, some fear, some insecurity, some trauma response, and they're just projecting it onto you. It really had nothing to do with you. They're just being who they are. So you don't. And so here's what we can do as human beings. This is why these cases like this and all these things kind of flow around us. I mean, they can permeate us, and that's why we have each other. But they don't really personally affect me, because people aren't reacting to me or to you. They're projecting their own crap. And so that's why this case has been so amazing to watch and be part of, because you're seeing a lot of people in pain.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. There's a lot of people in the world in pain right now, because if there's just think about all the visceral, hugely emotional responses to this, you know, especially on the conspiracy theory side, where people are battling against each other, being nasty to each other. That's not the only place in their life. You really think, so again, just how I do my analysis on thing. Is this person going from the completely calm, healthy person to a million? All of a sudden they're reacting like this? I guarantee you not. And so ask yourself this, if you're one of these people that is viscerally having this amazingly high emotional response to this case, and you're lashing out, you're seeing yourself on X and Facebook and posting these horrendous things, ask yourself this question: who else am I doing this to on anything else in my life? Because I guarantee you are. Yeah. And ask yourself, what's the effect on the relationships in my life because of this behavior I'm having in all aspects of my life? Because it's not just this case you're doing it on. I guarantee you that. Yeah. And then ask yourself, are you the type of person that people want in their life because of how you're treating them?
Yeah. It's inventory that is healthy to take, and we need to take on a regular basis to maintain ourselves as being healthy individuals, because we all can go down those roads.
Yes.
And it's very easy to do so. Tomorrow, we're going to have another very fascinating conversation with Siobhan Scott about all this, about essentially the culture war that has erupted out of the Lindsey Clancy case. We're going to dive deep into all of these concepts. So be here if you want to participate in that conversation, 11 a.m. Central on Wednesday, tomorrow. Here on the show, it will be August 19th of 26, in case you're watching this 30 years from now. But you can go back and watch it then, the 30-year-old conversation. But it's going to be fascinating, and I certainly welcome you guys to think of your questions you want to bring to Siobhan tomorrow, because we're going to dive deep into that. Fascinating conversation today, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you for weighing in. Great dialogue about this case. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We can continue this off the air, and the repeats, we will definitely do that. Hey, today, while you're doing stuff, check out Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. Get it on Amazon or wherever you get books. Audible, you can also get the audiobook version of it as well, and hear the smooth sounds of Robin Drake reading you.
Isn't that kind of a theme every show? Why, it's not
yes,
all about me.
Yes, the smooth sounds. We should put, I'll beat mix you to like some Sade or something.
I'll tell you, next time I got to do
the remix.
It. If I do another book, I'll either have you or Todd read it, just because you guys have much better radio voices than I do.
No, I listen to
you're
you
great.
A lot. You're playing in my background all the time when I'm
all
listening.
Right, you got
to
some
stuff.
Issues.
And then on Thursday, we're going to examine Tony's disorder of listening to Robin all the time when we're not on the air together.
As you all know, we have a big bromance going on the show. We really do. We do love each other hard.
Your thoughts in the comments. We'll continue it there. Until next time, for Robin and Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.